Thank you very much for this very brilliant testimony. I ask now Mr. Ghazwan Al-Mukhtar to take the floor. Mr. Al-Mukhtar is an engineer.
Thank you very much,
Iraq.
Mr. Chairman. I'm asked to talk about the conditions in Iraq at the present after the occupation, and I'm given a very short time to explain the conditions on Iraq. To actually cover what is happening in Iraq, one would need hours and hours to talk about the atrocity, so I will be limiting myself to a few points. In order to understand the level of atrocities that are committed and the conditions that we have in Iraq, one has to understand what was the life in Iraq in 1991 or 1990 and compare the result of what we are now, where we are now. We were living in 1990. At this level, we are deteriorating through the wars, the two U.S. invasions on Iraq, 14 years of war, and now the 1 year of occupation. I will be talking about certain sectors which affects the life of the people and how, historically speaking, the Iraqi governments, plural, for the last 40, 50 years, have been the main importer and the main dealer or importer of food material, basic food stuff, rice and flour and so on. The Iraqi government used its huge purchasing power to bulk purchase, bulk ship, bulk transport. They have the resources that allows them to pay immediately. So the food was imported by the Iraqi government, was sold with no ration system, sold at an affordable price to the people. That existed until 1990 when Iraq invaded Kuwait and the sanctions began on Iraq. The Iraqi government kept continuing importing or encouraging the local farmers to produce, and they buy the agricultural products and sell it at a subsidized price, affordable to the people. Then came Oil for Food program. The Oil for Food program, the input for each family on the Oil for Food program was somewhere between $6 or $7 for food per person per month. Due to the inflation and the rate of exchange, that would have cost the Iraqis anywhere between 14,000 dinars to 16,000 dinars. However, the Iraqi government was totally subsidizing that food, and we charge us only 250 dinars for the 1 month ration of an individual. While it cost 14,000 dinars, the government subsidized it 95-96% and selling it at 250 dinars. Now, after the invasion, I know a lot of people talk that the food ration is not acceptable quality, it's not enough, and does have no protein input. Now, after a year of invasion and with all the money that the U.S. had from the Iraqi account, we're still back again on the same ration system, the same allocation, except it's even worse. Because this month and the month before, we did not receive our ration of rice, which is the basic food item. For 14 years or 13 years, the government of Iraq had maintained the ration. And never in those 13 years have we had any shortage of certain important item like rice. But after 1 year of invasion, occupation, we have no rice on this ration. The ration system, when it was imposed in United Nations documents saying that 60 or 70% of the people are totally dependent on the ration system. With unemployment right now in Iraq, due to, I'll come back to the point of it, unemployment, but with unemployment coming at about 50% or 60% of the people, I claim that 80% now of the people of Iraq are totally dependent on the ration system. Apparently, the ration system is going to, no one knows what the ration system is going to be after June 30th, because they have not signed contracts beyond June 30th, according to the WFP. What's going to happen to the people? How are they going to live? Somebody would say, okay, increase the salary. The Americans would say that we increase the salary, the people could buy the food. Yes, they increase the salary for something, certain people, but they have kept people out of work. Half of the population is out of work and are not earning salary. And even those who have worked for the government and were kicked out of the government because they are Baathist or whatever, have been denied the right for pension. Those people are left after 20 years or 30 years for the government of Iraq without job, without a salary, without pension. Anyway, so much for the food, it's worse. Electricity sector. According to the figures we have from the UN, Iraq was producing in 1990 about 9,000 megawatt of electricity. In 1991, when we were bombed by the US, they destroyed something like 96% of our electricity capacity. I read what is written on the Ahtisaari report. 13 of 20 of Iraq, 20 power stations have been damaged or destroyed during the first days of the Allied bombing. Two that were still in operation at the end of the bombing only managed to produce 4% of Iraq's pre-war output. By May 1990, that's only two months, repairs undertaken by cannibalizing spare parts from the other plants had brought the generation back to up to about a quarter. We were back at 25% in 2 months. By August, which is probably 6 months after the end of the war, we are back to two-thirds of the 1990 peak production. So we were producing 6,000 production megawatt by in 6 months. Well, things start deteriorating a little bit later on because the lack of spare parts, lack of material, because of the sanctions and the UN and the US objection to all every single contract dealing with the electricity. The production declined to about 4,500 megawatts. And they stopped the improvement of the electrical distribution system. UNDP, which was in charge of monitoring the electricity sector, had appealed to the UN in 2001 that unless the US or unless the UN lift the holds on the contracts for the Iraqi electricity, people will suffer tremendously. The report also stated that it will take seven more years of continuous inflow of capital until Iraq would reach the pre-1990 production level. It takes 7 years, 5 years to 7 years, to come back from 50% to back again 50%, to 100%. Well, the Americans haven't done very much on the electricity, even by their admission. We are still producing about 4 4,500. What happened is that there's a lack of coordination right now in the distribution of the electricity. Each governorate was allocated a certain percentage of the electricity. Baghdad being the capital and has 5 million, almost half, 20% of the population, had no electricity. We are running right now in Baghdad with about 8 hours of without electricity a day. And we are in April now. This is the changeover season. We don't use heaters. We don't need air conditioners. What's going to happen in July and August when the outside temperature is 60 degrees? We will probably have even less electricity. This is after 1 year. In 6 months, we were able to reclaim the electricity production from 4 to 67. And it was done by the Iraqis despite the UN sanctions and despite lack of money. Now, America, with all its money that they have taken, could not improve the electricity by any more than 5% in a year. We talk about telecommunication, which is an important sector. Those are things that affect the lives of the people. In 1990, they bombed 400,000 telephone lines out of 900,000 telephones in Baghdad or in Iraq. In 3 months, the Iraqi engineers, working against the, despite the sanction and despite the lack of spare parts, they cleared the telephone exchanges, they redesigned the building, they reconstructed the building, they cannibalized parts from other exchanges, and that they had the telephone system back in operation in 3 months, maximum 4 months. Yes, the telephone system was atrocious, but it works. You have all kind of noise on the line, but it works. I could dial somebody. I could talk to him. Well, the UN found it necessary for their operation to have a reliable telephone system in Iraq. So they sent a team from the International Telecommunication Union to look into the communication system. And they were asked to try to rehabilitate the system. The ITU team studied the telephone system, and they couldn't find any supplier to supply them with spare parts for exchanges that were 15 or 20 years old. Because this, you cannot rehabilitate a dead system. As such, the UN reluctantly agreed for Iraq to import new telephone systems, telephone exchanges. We installed them in 2002, and they were wonderful French telephone systems, only to be bombed on the 2003. We didn't enjoy them more than 6 months. Well, now the America came in to run Iraq. Let's find out what they did. We did it in 3 months. In a year, they have not yet finished installing the telephone systems that they destroyed in 2003. They didn't reconstruct the telephone exchanges. They only cleared the site and brought a container, a shipping container, which contains the electronics for the exchange, and extended the cables and connected it. Some of the telephone exchanges are still bombed out, and they have not been cleared completely. But they found a vacant area next to the telephone exchange, and they installed it. It takes them a year to finish the telephone exchange. Again, this is one other service that is deteriorating. The health service. Iraq had one of the best health systems in the Middle East. because of the sanctions and because of the destruction that happened in 1990, medical systems start deteriorating. Now, we started again the last few years before this war, in 1998 and 1999, 2000, things started to improve in hospitals because we had enough supply. We had tried to rebuild the hospitals. We had tried to rebuild connections with suppliers, and things start going into the pipeline, the medical system. Now it has been destroyed back again. The looting and the destruction that happened to the health system, hospitals and warehouses and the Ministry of Health, caused, and the collapse of a government that followed, and collapse of people issuing orders or people planning for the reconstructions or budgeting for it, have led to the hospitals being so bad right now. Sewage is flowing in the wards, according to reports, Western reports, reporters, journalists who have visited hospitals. The intensive care unit is flooded with sewage because there is no government to take responsibility and order the restoration of this. They have dissolved the army, dissolved the Ministry of Information, they dissolved the security polices, they dissolved every security apparatus, and they dissolved the army. Now those people are sitting without a job. Factories are not working because of lack of electricity, lack of fuel, lack of spare parts, lack of management to order them to work. So you have a 50% unemployment right now in Iraq, if not 60%. And there is no prospect for jobs to be created in the next future, in the foreseeable future, because America is not reconstructing anything. America is reconstructing the bases, or the troop bases. And they don't hire Iraqis to do the reconstructions. They import Filipinos and from Pakistan. So while half of the Iraqi labor force is idle, we have Iraq importing people to take their place. America, okay. They bombed the refineries in 91. We had them back in operation in 2 months, 3 months. In fact, it is documented that Iraq was smuggling oil, refined oil product through the north to Turkey at about 100,000 gallons a day. We have 5,000 trucks, or the Turks had 5,000 trucks going between Iraq and Turkey, just around carrying refined oil product, which means that Iraq had an excess refining capacity. What I'm coming to is that Iraq had an excess refining capacity. Since the occupation till October 16th, according to the Washington Post, Halliburton imported 764 million dollars worth of petrol, refined petrol from Kuwait for the Iraqi market. Now, they imported it at $2.64 a gallon. They sell it at the gas station at 5 cents a gallon. And they're making money. Somebody is making money. The government of Iraq, which used to sell us the petrol at 5 cents a gallon, we thought they were robbing us. And we weren't happy with the government because we thought they were robbing us. Now, as the Americans are importing oil for us at $2.64 and sell it, what's hurting us even more is that the money paid by Halliburton for it, which is the $760-something million, $690 million of it, which is excess of 90%, was paid from the Iraqi account and from the Iraqi money that the UN handed to the Americans. This is robbing the country blind. Those are examples. I could go on and on and on. What I want to say is, we all know what the sanctions, or those people who have worked on the sanctions, they know how the sanction, how bad the sanctions was. Right now, the occupation is even worse than the sanctions. And it is an extension of the sanctions, because nothing has changed. Iraq wasn't importing weapons, wasn't using the oil for food program to buy weapons, and now we are not buying weapons. They have destroyed the infrastructure of the government of Iraq, and they have no plan of reconstructing it. As far as I see it, I live in Baghdad, I see the constructions, I'm an engineer. I'm involved with talking to engineers about this. And so far, I haven't seen any effort for meaningful reconstruction by the Americans. In fact, they are not qualified. We have a highly qualified engineers who had experience in the reconstruction of Iraq in 1990. We have more qualified engineers than the people are sitting at the CPA. The only thing, America controls the money, and America controls the priorities of the projects, and they are not allowing the Iraqis to reconstruct the country, or they reconstruct the country themselves. Every time I look at the words UK, USA, and I'm going to include the UN for you, Dennis. To me, it reminds me that united to kill us all unnecessarily. And that's what the sanctions, the UN sanctions, and that's what the occupation is doing. And I think I will answer questions rather than talk. If I keep talking, we're never going to finish. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this impressive testimony. I suppose that there are some questions